I'm going to begin by reading Jesus' parable of the dinner, and this is found in Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 16. Starting in verse 16, it reads, "But he said to him, a certain man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became very angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner." A while back, when I was teaching Bible class and the teenage class, we were talking about something, and Maya asked pretty randomly, why doesn't God just take everyone to heaven and make them do the right thing? This idea is actually talked about somewhat frequently here. I know Mike often cites that God didn't make us like robots. He made us with the freedom to choose. But what does that mean exactly? What happens when people have the freedom to choose? Well, that's when you find out who really wants to do something. The way I answered Maya's question was by telling her the parable of the dinner, only I put it in the context of someone her age. When you're a kid, the most important days to you are the first day of summer, Christmas, and your birthday. And in a way, your birthday is the best because it is your day. If your family is able, you're going to eat your favorite foods, you'll get a birthday cake and presents, and everyone is sort of waiting on you hand and foot. And if you're lucky, your parents will let you have a party, and you can invite all your friends, and you'll play games and have fun, and it'll all be great. But let's imagine that you invite your friends, and they start coming up with excuses. I'm sorry, I have baseball practice that day. I'm sorry, I have homework to do. I'm sorry, Batman is going to be on TV that day. Or maybe they just come right out and say, I don't want to come to your birthday party. You're not cool enough. I don't really like you very much. How is that going to make you feel? And it's not going to make you feel any better to learn that those people show up to your party because their parents forced them to. You also don't want to be that kid whose mom pays the other kids to show up. Here, I'll give you $20 to come to my child's birthday party. You don't want that. Sure, they might come, but when it's over, what do you have? They aren't your friends. They aren't going to play with you at recess or sit with you at lunch. They don't care. Now, let's put that into spiritual terms. We sometimes talk about how God has feelings and emotions just like us. And I like to think about God this way. It shows that God has the same emotional needs and desires that we do. And one of these basic desires is the desire to be wanted and needed. And in a way, Jesus has a very childlike quality to him. On the one hand, he's the mighty Savior of us all, and he's the shepherd to his people. But on the other, he is a gentle and caring person who experiences the same emotions that a child does. On the day that the multitudes of people left him, most likely never to come back, he turned to his 12 disciples to ask if they were also going to leave. And you can almost imagine a young child in that moment in his shoes. All of these kids have been following you around and acting like you're great, and then suddenly they leave. Then you turn to the other kids who have been with you the longest and ask, "Are you going to leave me too? Or are you going to stay and be my friend?" You see, with Jesus, the people who went away didn't want him. They wanted the food and the easy life that he was giving them. But the 12 disciples stayed for what came next. And there's the distinction. He has a lot of love to give, but you have to want it. Then later in the garden, when he was about to be betrayed, he came back from praying to find Peter, James, and John asleep. And again, you can almost see a kid's reaction to that situation. "You three are my closest friends. Can't you just be there for me when I need you the most?" And in the end, didn't they expect the same from Jesus when he was asleep on the boat during the storm? When they woke him up on the boat, he calmed the sea. But when he woke them up in the garden, they fled after his arrest. God has always wanted a relationship with his people, from the beginning. The scriptures say that Enoch walked with God. Abraham is called God's friend, and David was a man after God's own heart. Then, when Jesus is in Jerusalem in Matthew 23, he says in verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." Just look at the emotion in this scripture. God is basically saying that he wanted to protect his people and shower his love on them, but they didn't want that. So what does all of this mean for us? God, like with the Jews, wants to have a relationship with us. He also wants to shower his love on us. God the Father sent God the Son to be beaten and killed so that this could be a reality. And if we come to him, he will love us. And if we fall away, he will wait for us to come back, like the father waiting for the prodigal son. And just imagine the story of Peter at the end of the book of John. In John chapter 21, starting in verse 3, this is after Christ has been crucified and he's now resurrected and he appears to the apostles. In verse 3 of John chapter 21, it reads, "Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will also come with you.' They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' They answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' They cast therefore, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself out into the sea." This is the very same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. And when he saw that Jesus was standing on the beach while he was in the boat fishing, he jumped into the water because he couldn't wait to see him. This is the kind of person that God wants with him. And so to answer the question of why God doesn't take us all to heaven and make us do the right thing, he wants us to be there, but not because he made us or because he bribed us to be there, but because we wanted to be there with him.